If you stand with me this morning as we turn to Psalms 90, in the book of Psalms in chapter 90, let me read one verse to get started. We'll look at several verses in this chapter. I'll read one verse to get started with a message, and the title of our message is in verse 8. I'm going to title the message, Secret Sins. He says here, notice with me in verse 8. He said, "Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, and our secret sins in the light of thy countenance." Now, in this chapter, the context or the historical context of this chapter, we believe would be written by Moses, and it would have to do with the 40 years in the wilderness, probably written toward the end of those 40 years. And as we look at this chapter, we see that a whole generation died. A whole generation, God's chastening hand upon an entire generation. All of the adults that came out of Egypt, only two of them went into the promised land. Even God's chastening was upon Moses himself. He says in verse 8, he said, "Thou hast set our iniquities before thee." Notice our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. Father, we thank you this morning for the Word of God. We thank you for the seriousness of the truths that you've given us in our Word. And Lord, we ask this morning, dear God, that you just meet with us. Lord, we pray this morning that you speak to us by thy Holy Spirit and through thy Word. We thank you for this day. We thank you for your love and kindness and mercy to us. And Lord, as we assemble here together today, again, we pray that you'd work among us. And Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would teach us your Word, which in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Now, before we get into our outline this morning, let's consider just a couple of things here in this particular chapter. Again, this I believe this, and many believe that this is written by Moses, and it had to do with the 40 years of wilderness journey, and before they would enter into the promised land, and a whole generation died because they had provoked God's anger in their rebellion against Him. That's recorded in Numbers chapter 13. Now, as we come to this chapter, and we consider this, if you were to divide the chapter up, in verses 1 through 6, we see the brevity of life. In other words, life is short. In verses 7 through 11, we see the burden of life. Life is sinful in many cases, many people. And then in verses 12 through 17, we would see the balance of life, the seriousness of life. And what I want to do this morning is I want to consider this subject. And we've preached on this, but it's been probably a few years ago as we were teaching through the book of Psalms. Maybe not that long, but as we come through the book of Psalms on Wednesday night. But you notice the seriousness in this passage. He said, "Thou hast set our iniquities before thee and our sins in the light of thy countenance." Now, the first thing I want to do this morning, our first point, would be defining secret sins. Defining secret sins. Now, as we look at the context here, we see in verse 1, as we began here, he said, "Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations." And he said, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or even, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world," he said, "even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." Now, in the beginning of this chapter, we see one of the first things that Moses does is that he begins to declare in this passage the majesty of the Lord. And as you end this chapter, we see some of the same things. He praises God for who He is. But as you look at the middle part of this chapter, he's showing the fact of God's judgment and God's chastening upon sin. Again, verses 1, 2, we see Moses begins here with a declaration of God's majesty. He talks about the Lord in verse 1 being our dwelling place. And then as we come to verses 4 through 7, we see the brevity of life that's mentioned here. Verses 11, he talks about the fear of the Lord. In other words, should be, this is the central theme of Scriptures, and the mark of God's people is to fear God. Verses 9 through 12, we see these words. Notice as we come here, verses 9 through 12, he said, "For all our days are passed away in the wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years and 10, and if by reason of strength they may be 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow." He said, "For it is soon cut off and we fly away." Verse 11, "Who knoweth the power of thy anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." In other words, as we look at this chapter, we see God, Moses, praising the Lord for who that He is and His kindness and love. But we also see in this passage the wrath of God, the anger of God, the chastening of God's hand that is mentioned in this particular chapter. And when we consider God's wrath, you know, seeing sin from God's point of view is one thing. Usually we're looking at sin from our point of view. But if we could look in through the spectacles of Scriptures and literally see how God looks at sin, it would change our lives. And I'm going to speak to you this morning on secret sins. First of all, defining what secret sins are. Secret sins are sins that we commit that we think that no one else will find out about. And in many cases, we believe that God will never find out about, that no one sees us. Now, when I consider this, if we look at the verses, and I'm not going to turn to them, but when Israel came out of Egypt, there was at least 1 million people. There could have been as high as 2 million people that came out of Egypt. And we know that every adult that came out of Egypt, because of the rebellion and their sins against God, that they died in those 40 years of wilderness journey, except for two men, that's Caleb and Joshua. Even Moses did not enter at this time into the promised land. Now what is interesting, and I've never done the math, but if you were to take over, let's take over 1 million people that came out of Egypt, and adults and whatever, I think there were 600,000 men alone that came out. And if you added those 40 years, you're probably going to have between 75 and 100 people dying every day during this wilderness journey. Now you think about burying that many people every day for 40 years as you're traveling in the wilderness. You see, Moses admits that much of Israel's problems was because of their own sin, the rebellion, the sin that is in the heart. I'm going to give you some examples of that in a few moments. We're talking about the sins that are within, secret sins. And you'll notice with me that as we come here to verse 8 again, he says here in verse 8, and again, the context is dealing with God's wrath against sin. You ever seen a child taken and a young child and cover their eyes and you can't see me now? Have you ever seen a child do that? Well, many times we sin and we act as if God cannot see that, and we try to hide it from others. And many times we're more concerned about what others think about our sins than we are what God thinks about it. Because we hide it from others, we don't want others to know our hearts and see this, and we're more concerned about what they think than we are many times about what God thinks. But you notice in verse 8 again, as we look at this, and he says here in verse 8, he said, "Thou hast set our iniquities before thee." Notice our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. In other words, in the face of God. These secret sins are done in the face of God. Now, I want you to think about that. If you don't get anything else this morning, I want you to think about the seriousness of sin in the eyes of God. Turn with me, please, to Psalms chapter 66. You see, it's hypocrisy, and sometimes it's worse than open rebellion because you can't repent of what you cover up and you're not willing to admit. Now, notice in Psalms chapter 66, now, just taking sin in general, not even secret sins, but just sin in general, is what sends men and women to hell. It is sin that costs God's Son His life on Calvary's cross. And so sin is a much bigger deal than what we consider it to be. If we could see sin as God sees it, a holy and a righteous God that created man and man rebelled against Him, if we could see sin as God sees it, in other words, the depth of sin, the blackness of sin that is in man's life and so forth. Again, we're more concerned what people think than we are God. Now we're going to, first of all, we're looking at the fact of defining secret sins. Again, it's sins committed we think that no one else will find out about, no one else can see, and even God Himself, we think sometimes, does not see or sin. In Psalm chapter 66, notice with me in verse 8, one verse, I want you to see that sin is no trivial matter. He says in verse 18, the psalmist says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, he said, the Lord will not hear me. Of course, in the passage, he said the Lord did hear him because he had sought the Lord. But notice he said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, he said, the Lord will not hear me. The seriousness of sin. Turn to Psalms chapter 19. You notice here, and I want to read two verses. Psalms chapter 19, reading verses 12 and in verse 13. Verses 12 and in verse 13. We see these words, he said in verse 12, he said, who can understand his errors? And he said, cleanse thou me from secret faults. He said in verse 13, he said, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. About a year or so ago, I preached a message also from this chapter dealing with presumptuous sins. That's things that we know to be sin, and we commit them anyway. Many times we justify things, and we say, well, this is just the way I am, and others are doing it, and others are far worse than I am, or so forth, and we just justify our sins. Now, let me give you a few verses. Turn with me to Psalms 139, and let me give you, before we look at the examples of secret sins in Scripture, let's notice that here, with a few verses, that God sees everything. And this week, as I've been studying on this, I wrote down probably 50 verses. I'm going to give you three or four. I wrote down probably 50 verses on the fact that God knows and God sees everything. He sees their heart. He sees their actions. God sees everything. In Psalms 139, again, we believe this is written by David. And throughout this chapter, he's describing the greatness of God, that God's all-seeing and all-knowing. You know, notice with me as we come to verse 2 that he says, thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising, and thou understandest my thought afar off. You'll notice with me, you can read the entire chapter later, but notice in verse 4, he said, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. He knows our heart, he knows our words. Even if we don't speak our words, God sees them and he knows what is there. But I want you to notice with me as we come down this time to verse 13. He said, for thou hast possessed my reins and thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. In other words, David is describing in this chapter that God knew all about him before he was born, while he was being carried by his mother in his mother's womb. He knew every detail about his life. Turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 28. In 1 Chronicles chapter 28. I'll give you just a few thoughts here on this. I'm sure that you know this. But in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, and we'll read one verse from this particular chapter. 1 Chronicles 28. Again, our sins are not really as secret as we think that they are. They're known to God, and eventually they'll be known to all. They'll be known to man. Somewhere along the way, this will happen. You'll notice with me as we come to 1 Chronicles chapter 28. We're defining sin. We're looking at some verses to show us that God sees our secret sins. And then we're going to look at some examples of secret sins. And then we're going to look at some other scriptures on how to deal with that. Now, you'll notice with me as we come to this passage. And by the way, if you're taking notes this morning, I challenge you to Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 21. And also in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul, when he writes to the church at Corinth, he said, for I know nothing by myself. And he said, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. And then in the next verse, he said, therefore judge nothing before the time, that's verse 5, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. God is going to make known the counsels of our heart. And before I read in Chronicles, another passage I'll give to you is in the book of Luke in chapter 12. You can write down verses 1, 2, and 3. But if you come to Luke chapter 12, you'll find that in verse 2, that he said, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and neither hid that shall not be made known. And he said, therefore, whatsoever ye, this is verse 3 now, you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which you have spoken in the ear in the closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetop. And what I want to do is bring some sobering thoughts to you this morning and some verses. I've had to deal with this all week, so you need to deal with it for 1 hour this morning. Some sobering, God has led me, I was going to preach another message and long about Tuesday or Wednesday, the Lord been laying these things on my heart. But I want you to consider these scriptures and the fact of secret sins, and that we will be more aware of the truths in God's Word. Why, in Luke chapter 11, verse 39, the Lord got onto the Pharisees, and He talked about that they made themselves beautiful on the outside, but the inside, He says that they were they had problems. They, for example, in Matthew 23, verse 27, He said, you're like whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones of all uncleanness. In other words, they made beautiful the outside. They appeared to men. They were concerned about men. And so on the outside, they made themselves look good, but on the inside, He says that they were dead men's bones. He said, you're filthy, you're dead inside. It's like the sepulchre, like painting a grave, you know, whatever. It's what's inside is dead. And He's saying that the Pharisees and the scribes were like this. Now, you notice with me as we come to 1 Chronicles chapter 28, we don't want to be like this. We want to be clean inside. We want to be pure before the Lord. Now, He says here in 1 Chronicles chapter 28 in verse 9, one verse, He says, and thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve Him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. He said, for the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek Him, He will be found of thee. But if thou forsake Him, notice He will cast thee off forever. In the passage, notice that God is looking for a perfect heart. And He says, and a willing mind. And He said, the Lord searcheth all hearts and He understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. Even you young people sitting here this morning, you need to realize these secret sins, these secret lies and things of that nature, even with your parents, that God sees all that. And you can rest assured your parents will eventually see it. They'll eventually know that. But you don't get by with anything. We adults, we don't get by with anything. And that's what God wants us to do, to come clean before Him. We'll show you the verses in just a few moments. Now let's consider some examples in the Bible about secret sins. Let's begin in Joshua. Turn there with me, please. In the book of Joshua in chapter 7. In Joshua chapter 7. Now, there's a number of times that we see examples in the Scriptures. I'm going to give you about 5, 6, maybe 7 this morning. Now, what about Adam and Eve? When we read Genesis chapter 3 and when they had rebelled against God, we see that they were hiding disobedience. They hid themselves from God. And you can't hide from God. And then what about Cain? We find that Cain tried to hide murder. We find in Genesis chapter 4 that Cain waited until he and his brother Abel were in the field alone, away from anyone else. They waited till they were alone, and that's when Cain murdered his brother. And still yet God saw the whole thing. Just like if he had an arena and an audience there, God's seen the whole thing. And God came and confronted him about that. Now I want you to notice with me, we're going to use Achan as an example first of all. And he tried to hide covetousness and stealing. He tried to hide covetousness and stealing. Now you'll notice with me as we come to this passage. Now as the children of Israel had came into the promised land, and if you remember the stories, they came to Jericho, and they had great success at Jericho. And God said, now here's what I want you to do when you go into Jericho. He said, you take nothing out of the city except Rahab and her family. He said, you leave the gold and the silver and all the other things. He said, you're not to take it. And that was to go into the treasury, if you read through this. And he said, don't take of the accursed thing. Well, they had great success. They went in, and this city was destroyed. God fought their battles and so forth. That was the first entrance as they was going into the promised land. But then they came to a small city, Ai. And this small city, just a few people there, and they were defeated in battle. Now I want you to notice with me why that they were defeated. The Bible said here as we come to Joshua chapter 7, reading in verse 11. It says, and Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have taken of the cursed thing, and have also stolen, disassembled, also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Then the children of Israel could not stand. Now notice the wording of the passage. Because of this sin, this secret sin, this hidden sin of covetousness and stealing, we find that they could not stand before their enemy. He said they could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore except you destroy the accursed thing from among you. He said, up and sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel, and thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. Now many times, we as individuals, we think that, well, we carry these secret sins, whatever they may be. And many times we think, well, it doesn't hurt anybody else. I want you to understand one man that we're going to read about in this chapter. One man's secret sin. He took some the Babylonian garments, he took some gold and whatever, and he hid it in his tent. Now, I want you to understand it not only affected him, but it affected his family, and it affected the entire church. You say, was there a church back here? The Bible said in Acts chapter 7, it talks about the church that was in the wilderness. It affected the people of God, the entire community. Now, notice with me as we come to verse 19. In verse 19, and Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me how now what thou hast done, hide it not from me. You notice in verse 20 that he answered Joshua, and he said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. And Joshua immediately sent men in to dig this up and to get it out of the camp. Now, you notice with me, as we look at this passage, we're talking about hidden sins. Here's a sin that only Achan and God knew that he had committed. He had rebelled, and he took the accursed thing out of the city after they destroyed Jericho. And you notice with me that it says here in verse 21, he said, when I saw among the spoils. Notice he saw this garment. This is not a shepherd's garment. This is probably some stylish robe, some beautiful garment that the Babylonians wore, and it's not a shepherd's robe. It's not the type of robe that they were wearing as they were doing the wilderness journey. And here's the thing, as we look at this, he saw the silver, he saw the gold, he saw the garments, And the Bible says here in verse 21, it says, "Then I coveted them." He first saw them, and then he coveted them, and then he took them, and then he hid them in his tent. This was a secret sin. Nobody in Israel knew about it except the God of heaven. And they could not stand before their enemies because of one man's sin in the church. But I want you to notice the end result of this. And by the way, he already weighed this gold out in his mind. He knew what it was. He's thinking about it. His heart is focused upon this. His eyes are looking upon this. And he's done weighed this thing out in his mind. And he took it from the spoil. The covetousness that was in Achan's heart, probably no one else saw it at that time. But it was there. It was a secret sin. His motives were wrong. His motives were not for the glory of God and the people of God and even his own family. I want you to understand that his own family was destroyed here because this day. And it caused some to die in Israel. And it caused them to not win a battle. One man's secret sin. This is why this is so important. That we deal with our secret sins, our hearts, and we make sure we're as clean inside as we are on the outside. And God matters far more than people does anyway. Now notice he said in verse 24, "And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the sons of Zerah," notice, "and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold," notice, "his sons and his daughters and his oxen and his asses and his sheep and his tent and all that he had." Notice they brought him out unto the valley of Achor, and Joshua said, "Why hast thou troubled us? And the Lord shall trouble thee this day." And all Israel stoned him with stones, notice, "and burned them," that is his family, "and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name..." And let me stop reading right there. You see the seriousness at how God looks upon sin. And a lot of times we just brush it off and we justify it and we say it's no big deal. Everybody's doing it. This person, I'm not as bad as my neighbor down here, and all these kind of things. And here this man in his heart was sinning and coveting, and then when they went in to take the spoils and to destroy the city, he took what he wanted. His eyes were already upon that. So here's a secret sin. His motives was wrong. Now notice another one. Turn with me, please, to 2 Samuel. In 2 Samuel, I'll tell you what let's do. Let's turn to Psalms 32. And I'll just give you what's in 2 Samuel. Turn to Psalm chapter 32 and notice here. Now, let's look at David for just a few moments. Hiding adultery. He hid this sin for about a year. Man after God's own heart, the Bible talks about, and still yet he walked upon his house one day, upon the roof of his house. He saw a woman bathing. Bathsheba, and he, the king was, matter of fact, he was at the wrong place to begin with. He's supposed to have been in battle. The Bible said that's what kings did during that time of year. And we see that David sinned and he covered this thing up. He even had the woman's husband murdered, had him killed on the battlefield, and he tried to cover this thing up and tried to hide it for up to a year. And then the prophet confronted him, and he had to come clean. God already knew about it. There's probably many in Israel already knew about it, to be honest with you. The scandal was probably already there. But he covered this, tried to hide this and cover it up. Well, you know the end results of his sin. The baby died that was conceived by him and Bathsheba. And then one of his daughters was raped by one of his own sons. And then one of his sons was killed by another one. And then one of his sons rebelled against him. And actually, David had to flee for his life for a certain period of time. God said the sword would not depart from his house. Secret sins. Those sins that we think that nobody else is going to find out about. Notice with me as we come to Psalms chapter 32. Now, I believe that this chapter is describing David's sin. There's Psalms 38, Psalms, I believe it's chapter 51. But you'll notice with me that while David kept silent, that is why he did not confess his sins. The Bible said here, as we come to chapter 32, verse 3, let me read just a few verses here. I want you to notice he was silent in his confession, but he was loud in his grief. While he kept quiet, while he did not come clean with God and individuals, the Bible said in verse 3, "And when I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day." That is the anguish that he was in. Verse 4, "For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture, that is freshness, is turned into the drought of summer." And then he said in verse 5, he said, "I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquities have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." You notice that while he kept quiet, you can read in other places about it, when he kept quiet, this man got sick. This man was torn apart inside emotionally and spiritually and physically while he was trying to hide this sin. And when you read the scriptures, it appears that he kept this thing, tried to keep his secret for about a year. And finally, the prophet confronted him. He had to come clean with God. This is a man that's after God's own heart. The sweet psalmist, he's called, that gave us many of the psalms. Turn with me, please, to the New Testament. And notice with me in Acts chapter 5. There's another example I'm not going to turn to, but it's with Israel in Ezekiel. In the book of Ezekiel in chapter 8, in verses 8 through 12. And Israel was hiding idolatry. They were hiding idolatry. And also in 2 Kings 17, verses 9 through 18. The Bible even tells us in Ezekiel 14, verses 3 through 6, that we can have idols even in our hearts. He talks about the idols that they set up in their hearts. So we're looking at examples in the Bible of those who had secret sins. Now you notice with me as we come to the book of Acts, reading in chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira. How many remember their story? Notice as we come to this passage. Now, chapter 5. But if you back up into chapter 4, you would notice that in verse 32, as the church is growing and God is blessing, and it said in verse 32, "And the multitude of them that believe were of one heart and one soul, neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common." The Bible said in verse 34, "Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands and houses, they sold them and brought the price of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need." The things that people, outside of just necessities, the things that people had, during this time, they actually sold them and gave to other brothers and sisters in Christ. They didn't sell their clothing, and they had houses to live in, but the excess they had, they actually sold this and actually became a blessing to others. Now, I want you to notice Ananias and Sapphira and what they did. I want you to see that they were hiding lying. There are many things that we can hide, but they were hiding lying. The Bible said here in verse 1, he said, "But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, and his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet." Now they decided together, here's two that are going to lie, a husband and wife. And they decided, you say, why did they do this? Well, they didn't have to sell it. But I think they sold it, and they wanted to look good. They wanted to impress others in the church. Okay? But they lied about this. And you know yourselves that liars have need of a good memory. If you're going to be a liar, you better have a good memory to cover yourself as you move along through life. But it says here in this passage, it said, verse 3, "But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? And to keep back part of the price of the land, while it remained, was it not in thine own? And he says, and after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And you know the story with him and his wife as you read through the rest of this chapter. And great fear came upon the church. Now think about it, they didn't have to sell it, but they sold it. Many were doing this. And it was a Christian thing to do. If you had access, you had things that you didn't have to have. They sold it and they helped the poor. They helped those who are going through hard times. What they did, they sold and they kept back what they wanted. Then they lied about it. I believe they probably wanted to impress others in the church and so forth. But the point is, we find here that they was hiding lying. Another secret sin. Turn with me to John chapter 12, one other time with this, John chapter 12. There's other cases in the Bible. These are about six or seven that I wanted to give you this morning to just think about. We see here people hiding covetousness and stealing and adultery and idolatry and lying and all these things, hiding disobedience, even hiding murder. Now notice in John chapter 12, and let me read about three verses from this chapter, again, hiding covetousness. I want you to see Judas Iscariot and his problem. And the 30 pieces of silver bought his burial ground, by the way. It was the price for his burial ground. Now notice as we began reading in John chapter 12, we see here reading from verse 4. We see these words. Now look at this carefully as we come here. In verse 4. And this is the story where Mary, in verse 3, and the ointment, very costly, and she had anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped His feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor. Verse 4, we have these words. It says, then said one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, was not this ointment sold for why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Then he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was, what's that word right there? What is he? He's a thief. And he had the bag. He was the treasurer. And bear what was put therein. Judas had many problems, but he was a thief. He was covetous. And he's always thinking about money. See, he's carrying the bag. And he's thinking about this instead of using this on the Lord Jesus Christ, this anointing. He's saying he doesn't care about the poor. He's thinking about himself as a covetous man. Now let's go back to the Old Testament. Our third point this morning is resisting secret sins. We've defined it and we've given some examples. And number three, let's talk about how to resist it. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 28 this time. This may not sound like an exciting message and whatever, but it's a sobering message to look at these scriptures and see that many times we're not looking through the same spectacles as God is when we consider the subject of sin. Again, if we could realize that it's our sins that cost God's Son His life, if we could ever comprehend that, we would never again justify it and brush it off and read the Scripture and just walk off and just put that. We would never do that again if we realized what it was that put Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Now, resisting secret sins. Now, you notice with me, we're going to look in this passage, one verse, God's way and man's way. Now, I want you to understand, since the fall, we've had a tendency to sin in secret and hide it, and hide from accountability, hide from the consequences, and hide from the shame. And we see that's man's way. Man's way is to hide. Man's way is to cover up. Man's way is to try to cover this up and put it aside. God's way is to confess it and forsake it. Now notice as we come to Proverbs chapter 28, reading one verse in this chapter. He said, and he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Isn't that what Adam and Eve did? They covered their sins. They got the fig leaves. And they sewed the fig leaves together. And then they hid from God. So he says here in this passage, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. There's many examples of that in the Scripture. David is one. Achan is one. Many examples. Many more than what I've given you this morning. But he goes on to say, now that's man's way to cover the sin, to hide the sin, to never confess the sin. But God's way in this passage, here it is. He said, but whoso confesses and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Once David became clean with God, he had mercy. So God's way is to confess and to forsake our sins. And that's why that in 1 John 1 verse 8 and 9, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The confession and forsaking. Turn with me to the New Testament, and you'll notice with me in Romans chapter 8. In the book of Romans in chapter 8, sins must be dealt with. We many times are desensitized to sin. It's not really sin to us anymore in our society in which we live. We've gotten used to sin in our society. I remember first moving down here on the Gulf Coast nearly 20 years ago. I'm just going to be honest with you. When I drove through Codin in the Bay of Labatra, I never smelled anything like that before in my life. The shrimp factories and all these kind of things. I mean, that was a horrible smell. I don't smell it anymore. I've been down here so long, it's normal. I don't smell it anymore. Like these paper mills, you know. You ever been by paper mills? Those people live there. How in the world could you live with those? We read an article one time. And the author of the article says, we don't smell anything. All we smell is money. You know, because, I mean, that's where most of them worked at. So, you know, they tolerate it. We're desensitized. Read a story one time several years ago about a young boy out in the barn working, you know, all the manure and everything that's in the barn. And he came in to eat and it's in his clothes. He doesn't smell it. He's gotten used to it. He came in, sat down at the table, eat. His mother threw him out of the house, you know. You need to take a bath. Well, see, we get desensitized a lot of times to sin. We become calloused. Our conscience becomes seared many times. And in our society, our culture that we live in, we many times don't even know what is sin. And let me ask you this morning, we that are Christians, do we sorrow over our past sins or do we remember them with pleasure? Have you ever thought about that? When we talk about our past sins, do we talk about them with sorrow in our hearts and a tear in our eyes, or do we talk about them with pleasure and boast on some of our sins of the past? You'll notice with me as we come to the book of Romans. I'm going to take one or two verses from this particular chapter. You see, when God deals with sin, He deals with it very soberly. And we take it so lightly. He even tells us that, you know, we live in the flesh, but our war is not in the flesh. We're to cast down imaginations in 2 Corinthians 10 and everything that exalteth itself against God. You'll notice in Romans chapter 8 in dealing with this, in Romans chapter 8, we find, let me just cut into the text one verse. You'll notice when in verse 13, he said, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Verse 13 says that we are to mortify the deeds of the body, that is, put it to death. The sins in the body and also secret sins that we have. You'll notice with me in Ephesians chapter 5. I want you to think about this, and we've all dealt with secret sins, one level or the other. We all dealt with them. But I want you to think about this. If we don't win, and if we don't get victory in the arena of the heart, we will not have victory without. Now you think about it. If we can't get victory in the heart, what makes us think that we will have victory in other areas of our life? And this is what we're talking about, secret sins. One author said that man says in the heart what he dares not say with the tongue. And many times we do say things in the heart that we will not say the tongue. Fires that burn down houses usually catch inside the house first. And that's why we're talking about the heart and dealing with the inside. Secret sins deceive us more than Satan even deceives us. You'll notice with me as we come to Ephesians chapter 5. By the way, when the psalmist, in Isaiah 6 and verse 5, not the psalmist, but Isaiah, I'm thinking of another passage with the psalmist I may give you in a moment, but when Isaiah, when he saw the Lord and His holiness and His glory, Isaiah chapter 6 and verse, long about verse 5, when he saw the Lord and he saw His glory, he says, "Woe is me, I am undone, I'm unclean." He realized what he was. In Isaiah chapter 1, when the Lord is describing the sins of the nation of Israel, they were going through the rituals of the sacrifices and all the things they were bringing to the temple. And the Lord basically says, "I don't want to see your sacrifices anymore." He says, "Come and let us reason together." Their hearts were removed from God. Idols in the hearts. Let me read you a couple of quotes here. One is, the author said, "Take heed of secret sins. They will undo thee if loved and maintained. One moth may spoil the garment. One leak drown the ship. A penknife stab and kill a man as well as a sword. So one sin may damn the soul." Another author, he said, "A little pebble in the shoes will make the traveler to heaven walk very wearily." And quote his Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 15, "The little things." Another author said this, he said, "Make it your business to watch against secret sins, to pray against it, to mourn over our secret sins, deeply to judge and condemn yourselves for secret sins, and carefully shun and avoid secret sins." You know, you think about that, make it your business. Make it your business. There's a lot of things we do in life and we give everything we got to it. But this area right here. Some of you that have your own business, you give your life to that business. You make it your business to make that thing work. What about, do we make it our business to deal with secret sins? And to make sure that we don't have those? We know that God sees them. And ultimately, eventually, a man will see them as well. But do we make it our business to really deal with secret sins? One author said, "The conscience is God's spy in the bosom." And how true that is. God, the conscience is God's spy in the bosom, and it plays the judge for us as well. But when that conscience gets seared, and I'm telling you, many times we don't know what is right or wrong. We didn't know how to read the Scriptures sometimes. We don't know how to interpret them. There's at least three categories of sin. One category of sin is that the sins that I am not tempted with. Now, they are sins that we're not tempted with that are in this world. And then there's the sins that we are tempted with, but we can easily, by bringing them to the Lord, and we can get victory over them. Now, there are many sins that we're tempted with, but there are some sins that one person would be tempted with that another person would not be tempted with. Somebody may be tempted with alcohol and drugs, and another person would abhor it. I mean, they are those sins that we would never be tempted with. There's those that might be tempted with smoking, drinking. Others may never be tempted with. Others may cannot stand the smell of smoke to begin with. Okay? So there are those sins that we are not tempted with. That's one category that we have no struggle with. There may be some not even be tempted with certain sins of stealing or immorality or things like that. I've never been tempted with the sin of homosexuality. That's one struggle I've never had. Amen. Then the second category of sin are sins that we may be tempted with, but we can get victory over them. We can easily get victory. We bring them to the foot of the cross and we give them to the Lord and we get victory over those. Then there's those sins that we're tempted with and we struggle with. And everybody has had secret sins at one time or another. And God is saying that we must deal with them. We must deal with them. One writer said, sin will take you farther than you ever thought you would stray, and cost you more than you ever thought you would pay, and keep you longer than you ever thought you would stay. That's what sin does. And when we consider how that God views sin as a holy and a righteous God, and we take it so lightly. The things that, you know, we live in a time today where the opportunities for secret sins abound. Between radio, magazines, television, and the internet. People can get in the privacies of their homes and you can even get this stuff on cell phones and things like that now. There's all that the opportunities abound today for secret sins. I know a few churches across their land that will not even allow people that are members of their church to have radios, much less televisions and internet. Not even have radios. One time I may have thought that was silly, but not anymore. Because the opportunities for secret sins, I mean, they're there. They're all around us. And it's horrifying to think about those who have lived a secret life and then one day is exposed, isn't it? You remember the story we've read about recently of the man with all the dead bodies in his home in one of the northern states? You know? And you hear stories like that, you may go along and then hear about somebody who's been caught up in pornography maybe or something like that for the last 10 years and finally they're exposed. I mean, these are horrifying things. Living secret lives. And when we live secret lives and we have secret sins, we will always live in defeat. There'll never be any victory. There'll never be victory there. And we are to measure sin by what God says and not what man says. I'm going to preach on a subject tonight that I've been 3 years since we preached on it. And many times people measure this holidays that are coming up, they measure it by what man thinks and how man feels and not what the book says. In Ephesians chapter 5, you'll notice here, I'm saying to you this morning that secret sins is like a cancer. It's like leaven. It's like rust in metal. It will destroy everything. He says here in Ephesians 5, reading from verse 1, he said, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather the giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater. Notice covetousness is connected with idolatry. And he said, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Just like what we read in Psalms 90. He said, be ye not therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. God's telling you and I that it's a shame to even speak of those things that are done of those in secret. We're not to even describe it and be talking about it. Turn to one last passage, and that'll be John chapter 3. Secret sins destroy the soul. We're to make it our business to deal with this. Again, these secret sins can be a wide range, a large category of different types of sin. We see that Adam and Eve, they hid disobedience for a period of time. Cain hid his murder. David hid his adultery. Israel hid their idolatry, as in Ezekiel chapter 8. Achan hid his stealing and his covetousness. Judas Iscariot, we've seen what he hid. Ananias and Sapphira, they hid their lying from the rest of the church and the church community. And we're going to close here in John chapter 3. Again, this is like leaven. Little leaven, what? You know what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 5:6, Galatians 5:9. It's nothing to play around with. And again, today we live in a time that's taken so lightly. So lightly. To choose to live in secret sins is to live in defeat. Total defeat. That's just the way it is. And this is something that we got to work on daily. We got to deal with on a daily basis. Now, as we come here to this last passage, by the way, if you ever had a fever, all of us have had a fever from the inside, is it not? Begins on the inside, but does it not burn the whole body? Yes. It burns, it affects the whole body. You see. And this is what we're talking about. I preached a message a few years ago titled Little Foxes. I believe it was last year, 208, 207. It's the little things, even the presumptuous sins. These are the things we must fall on our face before God and deal with them in our lives. And it's easy for us to sin in our minds and our hearts and no one else to know that. Now notice as we come to John chapter 3 and we come to a close, we see here in John chapter 3, let me begin reading in verse 17. And one other passage let me give to you. I'm just going to give you this reference. Romans 2:16. I want to make sure I read it correctly. I was going to quote it to you, but let me make sure I get it. You don't have to turn there. Romans 2:16, listen to this. He says this, he said, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Our sins that we hide, normally they'll be exposed to others in a short period of time. But you can rest assured if they're not confessed and if they're not forsaken, they will be exposed to all at the judgment of God. He said, He shall judge the secrets of men. In John chapter 3, verse 17, he says here, he said, for God sent not His Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, that men, I'm reading this because of this, that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Notice they love darkness rather than light. The reason their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither coming to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. As we come to a close here this morning, I hope these are sobering thoughts and sobering passages to you, so they have been to me as I've studied this week and considered this, and that God is very serious about secret sins. And sometimes they're worse than open rebellion because of hypocrisy, and everything that we cover, you can rest assured by us covering them and hiding them, we're not going to repent of them. And the key to this is confession and forsaking. That's God's way. Man's way is always to cover up and hide. God's way is to confess it before Him and forsake it and deal with it. Again, a little leaven. It doesn't matter where it's immorality, covetousness, whatever it is in our heart, we ponder on that long enough, it's going to manifest itself. It's going to destroy us. And when it destroys us, it not only destroys us as individuals, it will probably destroy our family and also destroy... Yeah, now you think about this. This is why, now in churches across our land today, about anything goes. And pastors are afraid to preach on sin and deal with issues and things and problems and so forth. But you think about this. Out of probably a million people in the nation of Israel, one man. You take one man would cause them to lose a victory. One man. And you can imagine what one person rebelling in a church. And there's rebellion all across our land in the time in which we live. But all it takes is one to destroy himself, herself, their family, and an entire church. All it takes is one. That's why that we must deal with secret sins in our life. Let's come and close in prayer this morning, if you would. Now, Father, we thank You this morning for Your Word. We thank You for these sobering Scriptures that we have been through this morning. And Lord, as I've looked at this each day or this week, I come before You humbly this morning, and Lord, I ask forgiveness of all sins and shortcomings in my life and in this church. And God, I pray this morning, Lord, that You would just again speak to us through Your Word. Lord, I pray that these truths would go with us as we leave here this day. God, help us not to forget them. Lord, help us to look through the same spectacles that You look through when it comes to sin and holiness and righteousness. Lord, that we may truly see You as a holy and righteous God, that we may truly see ourselves. And Lord, that we will not play around and entertain even secret sins in our life. Lord, that we will confess them, that we will forsake them, that we will deal with them quickly in a very proper manner. Now, Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for Your love and kindness to us. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.